We're closing out our series on life in the Spirit by talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Spiritual gifts can be a confusing and controversial subject. My hope today is simple, that you would not be uninformed. I think understanding the gifts of the Spirit is actually quite easy. It's as easy as understanding the gift of a great job for a great cause. A couple examples. We have any Royals fans here? How many of us at this time last year had heard of Brandon Finnegan? None of us had. He had just graduated from college. He was in his first summer in the minor leagues, totally unknown. Then on August 31st of last year, he received a phone call that changed his life forever. He was called up to the majors, and he enjoyed the gift of helping the Royals make it to the World Series. John Lennon, Paul McCartney, and George Harrison practiced every night for 2 years. Then they went into the recording studio for the first time, and they needed a drummer. So they asked Ringo Starr to join the band. He enjoyed the gift of being a part of the Beatles. In a similar vein, God has appointed each and every one of us to be part of a missionary team. We serve as ambassadors of the risen Lord Jesus. And God has gathered us in this time, in this place, for a special purpose, to advance the good news of His kingdom. And all of us, you and me, have a special place on this team. And the different roles we play in fulfilling our mission, the different ministries that God empowers us and enables us to do, those ministries are your spiritual gifts. Those ministries are your spiritual gifts. It's the gift of working a great job for a great cause. First, let's think about our great cause. Paul talks in detail about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, what you just heard. But it's not the first time in the letter that he talks about the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit is all over 1 Corinthians. And Paul makes one very particularly relevant point for us this morning about the Spirit. Paul says, in essence, that the Spirit is given to the church for the purpose of mission, to empower and enable the church to serve. Over the last 4 weeks, we've talked about how the Holy Spirit impacts our lives by connecting us to God. We said in week one that the Spirit quenches our thirst for God. We said in week two that the Spirit opens our eyes to see God. In week three, that the Spirit liberates us from sin. And last week, we said the Spirit helps us to love and obey God. That's all true, but the Spirit also empowers us to serve. You know, He is not a private lake for Christian rest and relaxation. The Spirit is a river that flows through us to bring life to arid places. Paul tells the Corinthians, God gave you the Spirit not just for your own good, but for the common good, so that you could bless the city of Corinth, and from Corinth, the rest of the world. I think if Paul were here today, he'd say to us, God has given you the Spirit to enrich your life, but not just your life. God gave you the Spirit so that you, Christ Church, could bless Kansas City. And through Kansas City, you could bless the world. Paul describes our ministry to the city in 1 Corinthians in a very particular way. He says that Christians are temples of the Holy Spirit. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. It's often said, church isn't a building, it's people. And that's true. But it's also true that God is interested in buildings. God is very interested in buildings, just not brick and mortar type of buildings. God is interested in buildings made of people, living and breathing temples of God's Spirit. 1 Peter says that Christians are like living stones that are built on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. So how does being a temple of the Holy Spirit missional? How does that bless other people? Well, people in the old world used to have to go to the temple to meet with God. In the Old Testament, you had to travel to Jerusalem to meet with God. Well, since Pentecost, since the Spirit was poured out and filled the disciples, Christians have been portable temples of the Holy Spirit. Christians serve as points of connection between God and the world. So think about our community here. Think about all the other church families in our city. We together constitute the interface between God and the world. We are our temples of the Holy Spirit. We like to describe our unique vision here as advancing the good news of God's kingdom. It's like we have a message to share. And it's a message to communicate, but it's also a message to experience. Because what we say when we say advancing the good news of the kingdom is that people, by being around us, should get a glimpse of what it's like to come under the merciful, restorative reign of Jesus Christ. Paul says, you are temples of the Holy Spirit. Your mission is to bring God to your city and to bring your city to God. That is your mission. You're a temple. The first small group I was in here at church, the leader worked for the FBI. We bombarded him with questions. What's it like to work there? How many lives did you save this week? Is it like 24? You know, we wanted an inside view. He did not think working for the FBI was particularly exciting. He went there every day. It was his job. In part, I think that's because we take for granted the things that are familiar to us. It's very easy to take for granted the things that are familiar to us. I wonder how many of us take for granted the wonder and joy that it is to be gathered together as a living temple of the Holy Spirit. How exhilarating it is that we have a challenge of bringing God to the people of our city and bringing the people of our city to God. It is a wonderful, astonishing, challenging mission. That is a gift in and of itself. We have a wonderful cause. And we work wonderful jobs. As a part of that cause, we work wonderful jobs. Now here is where we'll talk about spiritual gifts in detail. Again, this subject can be confusing, it can be controversial, but it should be simple. It should be as simple as understanding the gift of a great job for a great cause. All right, well, in chapter 12, verse 4, Paul says that there are different kinds of gifts, and that word in Greek is, when you transliterate it, is charismas or something like that. Different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit who gives them. That's simple enough, right? Different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, what does Paul mean by the word gift? Because in English, we use the word gift in two different ways. A gift can refer to a present or a bestowed favor. For my birthday, I got this wonderful gift. A gift can also refer to an inherent trait or ability. She is just a gifted athlete. He has a special gift with children. Two different things. Here's the central question. Does the biblical word for gift, charisma, does it carry both of those meanings in the New Testament? Does it carry both of those meanings? And I want to suggest to you that it's better to read the word gift in 1 Corinthians 12 and in other places in the New Testament as referring to the first type of gift, namely a present. So when Paul talks about spiritual gifts, think wrapping paper on Christmas morning, not inherent talents or abilities. Now, this seems counterintuitive. Why? Well, because whenever we English speakers have conversations about organizations and how we fit into those organizations, it's perfectly natural for us to have that conversation in terms of our own talents and wirings, the ways in which we are gifted, right? And there's nothing wrong with that conversation. In fact, in a minute, we're going to talk about how our natural abilities relate to the gifts the Spirit gives us. The problem is that in the New Testament, the word for gift refers exclusively to a present, not our abilities. So what am I saying? I'm saying that when Paul says the word spiritual gift, he means spiritual present, not a natural trait. And the gifts given by the Spirit refer to the roles we play in the ecosystem of a local church. Some spiritual gifts involve receiving special abilities to perform that task. You know, for example, the gift of interpretation of tongues. But remember Brandon Finnegan or Ringo Starr. The gift is the opportunity to play on the team, not the capacity to play drums or strike people out. Now, I'm sure some of you are thinking, Nick, who cares? Who cares? Why? What's the difference? Or why stress that spiritual gifts are the roles we get to play in the life of a church, not the capabilities or talents we possess? Why does it matter to draw such a sharp distinction between the two. Well, here's why I think it matters. Understanding the gifts as presents, not inherent abilities, reinforce three very important truths about spiritual gifts. And the first truth is related to its source, or to the source of spiritual gifts. Everything that Paul says about spiritual gifts follows the basic distinction he makes in verses 2 and 3, that it's only people who claim that Jesus is Lord by the power of the Spirit. They are the only people who have the Spirit. Only people who claim that Jesus is Lord by the power of the Spirit receive the Spirit. What does he say? In verse 7, spiritual gifts are manifestations of the indwelling Spirit. They're not simply our natural talents or abilities. You know, those two things are very different. For example, imagine for a second Kim Jong-un going online somewhere in North Korea and Googling spiritual gifts assessment. He takes the test, he learns more about his strengths and weaknesses, and he finds out that he has the gift of administration. Praise God. There's one problem with that. The supreme leader of North Korea is not a Christian. Not to my knowledge, not a professing Christian. So he doesn't possess the indwelling Spirit. So he just simply can't have this spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are, by definition, the property of those who have the Holy Spirit. Okay, second truth that this distinction reinforces is that it tells us, it teaches us where we receive gifts. Where we receive gifts. If we were to read through the rest of chapter 12, Paul would say to us that the Spirit distributes gifts in the context or in the arena of the local church to ensure that each local church has the ministries and roles and activities in place to ensure its health and vitality. The Spirit distributes gifts in the arena of the local church, and so it follows, right, that to get the gifts, you have to be in the place where he's giving them, namely in the local church. It would simply have been unimaginable for Paul that people would determine their spiritual gifts and then select their church of choice because it allowed them to exercise those gifts. For Paul, you receive a gift. Let me put it this way. The Spirit gifts us with opportunities to participate in a church's ministry precisely because we're active in that church's ministry, looking for ways to serve. We receive gifts in the arena of the local church. Final truth that this distinction reinforces, that it tells us the purpose of the gifts, what they're for, what they're for. The idea that gift, again, means present, and that it refers to the different roles that we play in the local church is confirmed, I think, by the synonyms that Paul uses for the word gift in verses 5 and 6. Let's look at that. It's up on the screen. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but it is the same God at work. Gifts, service, and working. What do all those words point to? They point to the different roles, ministries, and activities within a church family. They point to the different roles, activities, and ministries within a single church family in accordance with that church's unique vision and focus. So let me illustrate what this might look like in practice. Christ Church has recently committed to planting a new congregation in about 15 months, fall of 2016. And what we said when we committed to this is that this new congregation is going to flourish to the degree that it makes the gospel relevant and intelligible in the particular neighborhood it chooses to serve. I think it's the same thing for Christ Church at 91st and All. How will it be reinvigorated and thrive even more after it plants this new congregation? I think it's by going local, right? I mean, meeting particular people that are immediately surrounding this church. So planting and reinvigorating. What will those tasks require? Well, they'll require spiritual gifts. They will require ministries and roles and activities that match our unique focus and mission. If you're a Christian, you're active in any church, you have a role to play in the mission of that church. You may have several roles to play in the mission of that church. Those roles are your spiritual gifts. So if you serve on the prayer team on Sunday, you have the gift of a ministry of mercy and compassion. If you serve as a host or an usher, you have the gift of a ministry of help and hospitality and administration. The ministry God calls us and equips us to do are the gifts the Spirit gives us. Well, now let's talk a little bit about how this relates to our very natural talents and abilities. Because, for sure, some of the gifts that we are given are a direct extension of the talents we have. Let me give you an example. I have a friend here in the parish who is an extremely gifted interior designer. Now, God is the source of her abilities, whether she acknowledges it or not, and she does. My point is that her spiritual gift is not her talent in envisioning and designing worship spaces. Her gift is the role she gets to play in helping her church fulfill its mission by creating beautiful and transcendent places of worship. She has this gift of a great job for a great cause. But this leads to another equally important point. Sometimes the gifts that we're given, the roles we get to play, are a direct extension of our natural abilities. Sometimes they're not. I have another really good friend in the church who oftentimes serves with his wife in children's ministry. Now, this is a great guy. He's very energetic and fun. If he took a spiritual gifts test, there's no way he would have the gift of ministering with children. He simply wouldn't. But he shows up, and God blesses people through him. I have another friend who recently led a Rooted group. This woman is very talented. She's very intelligent. She would say that public speaking and teaching are not, she's not naturally able to do them. It's not like a part of her wiring. But she was asked to fill this role, and she did it, and God blessed so many people through her. Sometimes the best gifts are times when the Spirit gives us a role and we have no idea how we're going to be able to do it, and we see God blessing other people through and in spite of us. So what I would say to you is do not be surprised, or maybe a better way to put that is expand your imagination so that God can call you into a role even if you don't think that you're particularly capable at it. So for example, maybe you are not a technology a savvy person. That does not mean that the Spirit wouldn't call you and give you the gift of helping Seth run worship and media every Sunday. You know, it takes a lot of volunteers to just pull off worship every Sunday. Or maybe you don't have the gift of, you know, helping kids. That does not mean that the Spirit won't call you and gift you with a role in children's ministry. And that does not mean that you could have a huge impact on a child's life, even if you don't think that you have the gift of working with kids. You know, it is a persistent theme in the Bible. God uses us in spite of us. In our weaknesses, God is strong. Okay, conclude. Well, how do you find out what gifts the Spirit wants to give you? You know, if I took away the online test, how do you find your spiritual gifts? Well, how do you figure out what position you should play in basketball? Here's a hint. Not by being on the sidelines. If you want to discern your spiritual gifts, get in the game. Get in the game. The more people you know around here, the more opportunities for ministry, the more potential gifts you'll be made aware of. And what I would say, just very practically, is that when you find out about a need, or when you hear about an opportunity for ministry, and think about it as a potential gift the Spirit wants to give you, a role for this great mission, I would say first thing you should do is simply pray about it. Ask God to fill that need. And maybe that is your role, is simply to pray and ask that God would fill that need. But maybe God would also put it on your heart to fill that need. Either way, ask the Lord to show you His gift for you, the roles that He wants you to play in this church family. There are people here whom the Spirit is trying to gift you with opportunities of meaningful service in this church family. And you either just don't see it, or it seems inconsistent with what you perceive to be your strengths, and so you're ignoring it. You know, maybe you love hymnody and worship, but you feel like, well, my voice isn't that good. The Spirit wants to give you the gift of singing on the choir. Or the Spirit wants you to give you the gift of making Common Grounds and hospitable place for the Lunch and Learn ministry. There's just so many opportunities. You could go on forever. The point is, there are so many ways to serve around here. And if you frame it as a gift, a meaningful role in this church family, it becomes a source of blessing, not obligation. It's a gift. Okay, final point, and this time I promise, it's the final point. The most important role that all of us can play in all of our work together as a church is to pray, is to soak all of our effort in prayer. Like I said at the beginning of the sermon, the Spirit's trajectory is outward and missional. You know, He is for the sake of the world, and He gives us gifts not for our own self-fulfillment, but to meet the needs of the people around us. A week from Thursday, so not this Thursday, a week from Thursday at 7 p.m. here in the Nave, we are going to come together for a night of prayer and worship. 7 p.m. here in the Nave. Come and pray that God would show us and remind us of how exciting it is to have this venture of being the temple of the Holy Spirit in Kansas City. Come and pray that God would give each and every person in this church an awareness that they have a role to play in fulfilling our mission. Come and pray for discernment, that our eyes would be open to see the gifts that God has for us. Those are the types of prayers the Lord loves to answer. Amen.